Guess what, Muslims? It's our 70th anniversary. And what better way to celebrate than by bringing back the OG jingle that started it all? Press play, sing along, and take a trip down memory lane with us, because this moment, this milestone, is all thanks to you. Now enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. I am Mo Sibel, and this is the Mo Sibel Podcast.
Speaking of which, you're making us look bad. Like, you know how you go for prize giving day and then you see that kid that collects all the prizes? That's you right now. You know, I thought we passed that in college and all that. Dr. Pastor Harry, what's next again?
Let's see. I mean, there's still a lot of things that.
Of course, there's a lot of things which.
Remember last time I told you that that life is about experiences and you exploring as much as you can.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that, you know, I have that opportunity to, you know, go from one thing to another and just see how far it goes, you know. So I'm grateful. So, I mean, whatever comes my way, I'm happy. I'm happy to take it.
Anyways. I will not like to be your best friend, because I can just imagine my mother just constantly look at your you know, or to the pastor, or to the doctor, or to the astronaut.
No. But you are that person. You are that person.
Excuse
that
your friend, you?
Friends are scared to stand beside. You are that person. You know that. That's the truth.
Harry, let's do the podcast. Let's do the podcast.
See what they have done.
Like, can I agree on that?
Come on, look, your podcast like this. You are the something podcast of the year 2023-2024.
Oh, look at you. Oh, thanks for mentioning that, by the way. Yes, our podcast did that.
You know, and you've done that while you've been pursuing Korean, being integrated into Korean culture, being an assistant professor. I mean,
associate, actually.
Associate.
No, thank you.
So the truth is, I mean, I can remember. I remember when we came to your room. It was
It's okay. You humbled me. Don't. The secret is you humbled me. You win. Don't argue with Harry.
I remember one birthday in OPM. It was your first birthday in school.
All right, 2020. Yeah, I think let's not.
Yeah, and I had to speak at that meeting as well. But I remember, you know, how like there's been that great transition, and just looking at the trajectory of your life is just quite enviable, you know. So, I mean, people go like, we just did pharmacy together. Where is this girl going to? How far she's come, you know? So, you are that person.
Oh my goodness. I kind of walked into that, didn't I? All right.
You did, right?
Okay. Anyways, thank you. But everyone, welcome back to the podcast. And guess who is back? It's been a few years since we've had first had Pastor Doctor. I don't know which one comes from. Doctor Pastor Harry Olamiju, aka the man on the mission on the show. And let's just say the mission is still very much ongoing, as you could catch from our, you know, banter. The last time we spoke, it was his first podcast ever. And we're so honored. And he gave us gems on everything from growing up in the 80s. I remember the story of you entering a taxi and then you almost got kidnapped, but the taxi man brought you back to building community and faith in the UK. He made us laugh. There was a moment where I fell off my chair.
There was a moment.
When he was counting all his pence, you know. Go catch up on that episode. I can't say more than that, so I don't get cancelled. Since then, life has moved on. The world has gone mad in multiple ways. You know, we had COVID and then we didn't have it again, or maybe we did. And so we just thought, you know, why not check in on our dear friend from Uni Days to see how he's navigating that, all of that. And, you know, since the last time we've talked, he's also been, I mean, he's always been in ministry, but that has also gone, you know, big time. And in light of our anniversary check-in we are doing now, we just thought, you know, let's check in. And if you're new here, Henry is a physician. He's a minister of the gospel, a proud Lagos boy, and one of the most thoughtful humans you'll ever meet. So buckle up, and this will be a heart-stirring, fit refreshing, and side-eye sparkling ride. Welcome back, Henry. Oh, sorry, Pastor Dr. Henry.
Oh, come on. It's Henry. It's still, I'm Henry. You know, interestingly, thank you very much for welcoming back to the podcast. It was, we had an amazing time. I did have an amazing time. Like I said, it was my first podcast. Yeah. I've done a few podcasts after that, but this one still rings very much in my heart, you know, because the conversation was very rich. And then it opened up spaces that I did not, you know, I wouldn't have gone to normally.
Really? Tell us about that.
The reason being that, you know, for example, you asked me about what are the things that you would say are the things you're struggling with, you know, and some of the things I shared then are not things I've actually put into words, you know, it just kind of stayed at the back of my mind. And then getting into that and putting them into words, articulating them was quite, you know, liberating. And, you know, one of the things that I believe that is very helpful for people who are struggling with things is to not hide it, you know. In fact, one of the most important things that you can do for yourself when you're struggling with something is to bring it to light. All right, bring it to light, always very important, because when you bring it to light, it loses its power. Mm-hmm. All right, and it loses its power, you find help. And one of the things I was talking about just recently in church a few Sundays ago was I needed something done. And I was finding it difficult, right? It wasn't something secret, nothing. I just needed something done. I needed to get a document. And just bringing it to light. I was asking people, if you have anything that you need, there's a community here, just pick up. Someone will probably pick it up. Mm. And I was like, sample, you know, if you need this, you know, I am looking for this. I'm looking for people who need it so we can work out together. And someone just raised up and said, hey, I can sell that one for you. I'll give you the contact straight away.
Wow, that was it.
It brings me back to, we already started, but it brings me back to what Ms. Ibukun Awosika shared. I don't remember, but it was one of the posts on Instagram. She attended a course in Harvard. I think there were 50 people, 50 of them. I don't know if you've listened to it. Yeah. They went for a master's course. Something for 3 days. It was a three-day course, all of them global, you know, CEOs and all that. Mm-hmm. And they were being led by this professor. And 3 days into it, this was the last day, they were about to finish. And that person was like, okay, you know what? All of you that are here, is there anything that you wish you could have done, mm-hmm. all right, in the past that you feel that, well, that both has failed, you can't do it anymore, it's gone, the opportunity is lost, but it's something that you really wish you could do, but you've given up on it now. Is there anyone like that? And almost everybody, I think about 50 of them, all raised up their hands.
Wow.
That, yeah, we imagine, listen, we're talking about global CEOs.
Right, right.
You think they
achieved it all, exactly.
Exactly. They all had things that they thought, I wish I really had this done, but now it's lost. I can't get into it. And then so he made all of them share. If you wanted to share, they all shared it. And while they were sharing, after everyone shared, the professor said, is there anyone here in this meeting, in this group, who can help someone else, you know, based on their dream?
And see that.
Do you know what happened?
Everybody had somebody paid up or something.
At the time they finished, 48 of those 50 people had a person who could make it happen. But this, I think, kept back, you know?
Yeah, because you're like, you know, as you're just saying, I just thought about how, number one, I'm supposed to do life alone, right? We're supposed to be always in community. And unless you open your mouth, even Yoruba says, you know, if you don't open your mind, that's why I don't even know how to translate that to English. Like the lack of not being able to open your mouth is the beginning of misfortune for your life. The misfortune and the transition doesn't carry over, but just
it doesn't carry the power. It doesn't carry the weight.
Past the close destiny, right? And in the midst of our needs, we also have wants. And even when you feel like, I haven't achieved this, there's also so much you can also give to people. So I see that reciprocity in community.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and your needs can be met. It's just about saying it. You know?
Thanks
for that reminder.
You know, I feel that, and I think one of the things I've learned recently in the last maybe few years since we last spoke was that, you see, God, I don't know enough of economics to say God is a socialist or a communist, but I believe that in a sense that when you look at the way things are distributed, distribution of resources in this world,
yeah,
you might think it is unfair, but I believe that if you think about it in the place of God, it is the sense of God wanting to put what belongs to this person it is in living as a community that you get to get the best of it. So he puts your money in someone else's hands at a particular point in time, put your wisdom, the thing that you need, in somebody else's, you know, so that when you talk to that person, then that person, there's that relationship that brings everything that we all need.
Yeah.
Such that if we live like that, you know, we will not have this disparity in terms of wealth, wisdom, understanding. Yeah. And I believe that that is really what God wants, to have it, to be sure that, find out who you are made for, find out who you are supposed to speak to. at any particular point in time. It might not be something that you will be forever, but at, in a point in time, in a 2-week period, in a 6-month period, there's someone who you're supposed to mentor, there's someone who you're supposed to talk to. You know, there will be people who will be your life partners forever.
That's
fine. But there are people who you need to get into their lives for 3 weeks and then get out.
Yeah.
And there's people who need to come into your life for 6 months and then get out.
Yeah.
And then, and the wisdom of it entirely is having the understanding and the wisdom to let go of what you cannot hold,
so
that you can, so that you can keep what you cannot lose. Let me say that again. You have the wisdom to let go of what you cannot hold to gain what you cannot lose. And I believe that that is one of the most important things that we need to come to as people and as individuals.
Well, this is going to end up being a sermon, because again, in case I forgot to mention, he's a pastor as well right now. Okay, so, but that was really beautiful. And I mean, we're all about community on the podcast, as you know. And I found out, so something happened recently where I had to advocate for my daughter, because we started interfacing with the public education. She's been in private school for the past 4 years and in her entering kindergarten. And I live in a predominantly white neighborhood. And the way I see it, I always want to give people the opportunity, like, you know, see the good in others, like the ultimate good. You know, that's my default setting. Until you prove otherwise, then I have to, like, adjust myself not to, you know, get too disappointed. So I've seen a lot of opportunities to correspond with the school to really, you know, help them really understand that, okay, when you say things like that, you see how it can come off as you having this bias in interacting with a child or interacting with us, because we're different, you know, we're an immigrant family, we travel a lot. So then I told my husband, I'm going to put a panel together for July in anticipation of the next school year for parents like us who, you know, it's our first time interfacing with the school. And I imagine that, I mean, I have the privilege, I'm able to take time off work to go sit down with the principal and talk about how we can, you know, both support my daughter's, you know, growth in school and all that. But, you know, here, if you don't, some people, if you take that time off work, you're not going to get paid. I have the words, I have the degree to be able to, like, come up with words, and I have the resume to show that, hey, I know what I'm talking about. I can back up a research. But not everyone has that luxury, you know, in this time of day. So, and then he goes, and I said, yes, I'm going to put a panel together of parents, especially diasporan parents, to encourage people like us who are so naive to the school, how you can advocate for yourself, how you can, you know, help support the teachers and the principal. Again, I don't want to come off, I don't want to do us versus them. It's more like, let's help them help us. And then time when my husband goes, it's like all your lived experiences are now becoming your podcast episode. I'm like, that's so true you mentioned that, because the things I've gone through, the murky things, the most painful things, talking about them on the mic, not just talking about them, but even the community that comes from there has been one of the greatest, you know, miracles of my life. Because in even talking about it, knowing that I don't have the solutions yet, I've been able to find community to help people understand that you're not alone. You know, if I can be going through this and I'm still here, you can also, you know, overcome this, and you can, you know, we can talk about this together. We can find community. We can hold our hands together. Even just cry. But it's shared. And so I wanted to just say thank you for emphasizing the importance of that.
Thank you very much. And I think that that's the cornerstone of your podcast. The fact that you're actually talking about, you bring in topical issues that people have lived, not just like, you know, academic thoughts, you know, it's academic conversations around things that are not practical.
Right.
It is the everyday lived experiences of people that actually connects with other people, you know. And then a lot of people sit down, you know, at home, at work, and feel that their experiences are special. And they feel that they have been singled out for this very terrible life or for these terrible situations. But when they find people who have gone through and have made it, or have gone through and are still walking through it, or people who actually have gone through and failed in it, all right, but still going on, then they feel that, okay, you know what, if it's a common thing, it's a shared, you know, experience, and that it's not just you. Because I feel that when people feel it is just you, I'm the only one who is going through this, it makes them, the burden is a bit more, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when they know that this is common to everyone, everyone does go through it, and then speaking about them, it heals, it's very helpful, it's liberating. And I think that that's why your podcast is so powerful, all right? That's the essence of it.
Yeah.
So it's communal adherence, but it's also very practical, all right, to living their experiences.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think you've hit on a point about pain, you know, the pain from those things you're going through. There's something quite pervasive about pain. It gives you that feeling of exclusivity, like I'm the only one going through this. But no, you know, not to bust your bubble. What you're going through is hard enough. Yeah, we get that. But don't further isolate yourself. Even the Bible says, okay, we're going to turn a little bit scriptural because we have a pastor podcast. We overcame the devil, you know, by, you know, blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony.
What about
shining. Okay. Yeah. So you are a pastor, a medical doctor, a writer, a photographer. And I know we've explored, you know, the photography side of things, your writing side of things. We haven't done the pastoral bit of it. But congrats on TCN London. So for anyone in the UK or traversing the UK, go join him on Sundays, TCN, the Covenant Nation London. How's that been? How do you combine all of the many hats you wear, you know, Harry? Pastor Dr. Harry, share us some of your tips. How are you juggling everything? And then you're a dad as well and a husband.
I'm a dad. I think the first thing to say is that I think the responsibility of giving capacity to whoever takes the role is given to by the person who sends you on an errand. The person who sends you on an errand gives you capacity to be able to carry it out. Mm. And I think that really is the strength for me, all right? Because ordinarily looking at it, at the time when I took up the role of, you know, say I'm going to lead the church in London, I had had it to this point. Actually, what happened was, so that my church had a global diaspora community. We have a vibrant global diaspora community that I was very involved in. At the point, I was a vice president of Europe. I was taking care of the Europe team in the diaspora at that point. And then someone stepped away. So they wanted to make me like the governor of the whole diaspora community. And I felt, you know what? This year, 2022, I am not getting into this. I have things up to this point. I had exams to write, like exams pending. I had family, I had portfolio, I was in training. I was like, this is just too much. I cannot take this on myself. And that job will make me have to just make sure that I'm coordinating maybe, you know, teams. Every now and then, maybe one or two meetings, Zoom meetings a week. And that was it, all right?
But then the follow-up too, you have to follow up with people. It's not
you have to follow up with people. But at the time, I just had to attend one or two Zoom meetings.
Oh, I see.
And I have to speak to people on WhatsApp and here and there.
Yeah.
And so I said, I can't do this job. There is too much for me. I have a lot going on this year. I need to focus and get everything sorted out. You know, it was my third year in the UK and trying to get all my kids were growing up. I had not even seen myself. We'd not had any time to have a family vacation. But I thought, you know what, I need to kind of take it gently, you know. This was January when they told me this. Then February, pastor comes and says, Henry, we're starting PSN in London and you're going to be the pastor.
Someone that couldn't get on two Zoom meetings.
Ironically, when we started preparing for TCN London, all right, I had meetings 5 days a week.
Wow.
Zoom meetings 5 days a week, all right? The Saturday meeting was 2 to 3 hours. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we will pray every day except Sunday and Monday. Yeah. Every day, we're having strategy meetings for 5 months before we actually started. Is it 3 to 4 months? Yes, before we actually started. But so you can imagine that I, who had thought I wouldn't be able to do this,
wow! And it's been 3 years
into that, and I was doing that, and I was doing work. I'm beginning to act as a registrar at work. I had more portfolio. I had exams to write. I had kids to raise. I had husband, woman to love. I mean, but, you know, I couldn't see. So what I said that to say this, that it's totally because God gave me the grace to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Grace, number one, I will say that God gave me the grace. I didn't see myself going through it.
But you said yes as well. You said yes as well. Yeah.
Well, I said yes because, I mean, I can't tell you the story. Story for another day.
Okay.
How someone told me, I was like, I mean, I don't live in London. So I lived in London, but I moved away from London. So I live, you know, 2.5 hours away from London. And yeah, so I have to commute to church. Fantastic. Every Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Great. So yeah. So like I said, it is not something that I thought I could do, but grace was number one. Number two, I would say that it was a long time coming, in the sense that, look, through school, you knew me through school, right?
Yeah.
And this pastoral thing kind of been following me all up and down, you know.
PH, wasn't that your name, Pastor Herring?
PH, I've been PH since I was in school, isn't it? So that has been kind of been following me. You know, when someone asked me to choose a nickname, when emails came out and we wanted to find real
nicknames. That's true. Remember your email. Mm.
My email at some point was the Reverend Father. Oh. Then the Reverend Doctor. So this has been something going on for a long time. So I keep the Reverend. I remember, like to say, this is the Reverend Father on the wheels of steel, you know, my DJ name. And then he became Reverend Doctor because I was going to be a doctor. So you can see that is a lot of years in the preparation, you know, helped me through this. And in school, I mean, I used to lead our year.
Yeah.
Class
yeah.
prayers.
Yeah.
Did that for 5 years. Did that for 5 years in school. And I remember from second year, I stopped reading medical books on Sundays until after prayer meeting at night. So Sunday was devoted to only Bible study.
Bible study and church stuff, yeah.
And church and things like that. And even when we had exams on Monday, if I was because of one exam on Monday, I decided, you know what, I'll not, after prayers, then I can start reading. You know? Yeah. So it's been there, you know, talking to people, you know, counseling, you know, preparing for things. So long coming. And of course, basically, it's also the grace that God has given unto me over the years.
Yeah.
So it seemed like it's been a slow build up and God has given me grace. And then I've gone through things that have, you know, kind of opened me up to stuff, highs and lows that, you know, have given me that strength, capacity to be able to step into the shoes, a very big shoe. You know, you are leading God's people and you can't lead them wrong. You can't tell them what is not right. If people have things going on in their lives, you have to know about it, even when they don't tell you. You have to be able to pray for people. Yeah. You have to give them the word for the noun, you know, and this kind of thing. So, It is nothing that you could say, I can do this by myself. It's not.
Yeah.
So it's really been God's grace. And I must say this, a very supportive wife. I cannot.
Shout out to Ayo.
I cannot. I really cannot. You know, that is it's a thing I cannot overemphasize. Having a supportive wife who says, let's fly. If I say, let's jump, she's going to ask, how high do you want us? You know, it's not because she sees me. She sees me. In total, and you know, she's known me from when we were in school. She didn't think I was going to be a pastor. I didn't think I was going to be a pastor. I thought I was going to be like, you know, ministers in the marketplace and things.
Yeah.
But she's seen me and she understands. And when I came back and I told her, the pastor said, well, I'm sitting in London, you'll be pastor. She's like, okay, all right, let's go for it. So it's a supportive wife has been like also my
very helpful.
My strong point as well, you know. So, I mean, lots of things, but those are the three things for now.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And as you were talking, the older I get, the more I just realize that, one, there's nothing coincidental about just how God orchestrates our life. And do you find it that in this season you're in right now, where it feels like it was at first, you know, the thought of even doing anything more than even attending to Zoom meetings is very, very overwhelming. But you realize that there are so many skills that you're using now that you probably cultivated during several seasons of your life. And then you're now pulling it together. You're like, wow. So those, like, for example, your global diaspora group, being able to keep in touch with people and, you know, triangulate and build that community is serving you in your pastoral need. Your diligence in medical school, you know, sticking to stuff, reading and studying and, you know, preparing seminars is serving that purpose again. So I think it's just this moral of the story, I think, is to keep going, because you just never know when all those things will come into play in a particular season of your life.
You never know. And this is where people, you know, play, you know, in their, you know, remember that's the parable of the talents, all right, of the 10 talents, where, you know, they give this one 5, they give this one 2, they give this one 1. And one said, you know what, I'm just going to keep it. Why are you giving me just 1? The guy that has got 5 talents went to trade with his 5 talents. The guy that has got 2 talents went to trade with his 2 talents. You know, and the thing is, and I suspect that social media is really not very helpful in this regard these days, because people begin to neglect what basic skill they have got, all right? A lot of times, people don't realize that they have been blessed with so many skills. People are looking for what is obvious. People say, you know, I'm not a musician. I'm not an artist, all right? I don't know how to paint, you know? But they forget that everyone is born with certain skills. Right. But the only way you can get to identify those skills is actually if you put yourself into a community, you know? All these things that I'm using now, the things that have helped me and saved me as a pastor, were things that you discover very early when you are, you know, when you are working in groups and in communities. Now, I don't know if I said it last time. I said, look, I don't do finance. I don't keep money. Yeah. You cannot bring me into a community or a club and say, Henry, be our financial, our secretary. I don't do finance. I don't keep track of things like that. Give somebody else that one. But you would not know if you have not, you know, kind of put yourself in a situation where you find out, like, you know what, wait, this is getting so confusing. Can somebody else hold that? Mm-hmm. And then you discover that actually I can talk. And when I can talk, I can lead people. People listen to me. I have an experience about being able to, you know, persuade people to do stuff, do things, mm-hmm. right? Then I have this love to just go and check on people. I mean, there was nobody I didn't visit in 200 level from when we came in 200, 200, 300, 400 that I did not personally visit in their rooms in school. Mm-hmm. It was just something like that. Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself out there. And the way I say it used to be this way. Look, we are concentrated on our skills as doctors, pharmacists, and the things that we learned from school these days. Mm. But we forget that God gave every one of us skills that we were born with.
Yeah.
So let's say that we were born 1,000 years ago when there was no organized medicine. Are you telling me that I would not have a job on earth? Mm. Imagine if, you know, you were born 800 years ago where there was no science, there was no organized technology, are you telling me that you don't have a skill, you don't have anything? And that means that when you look at your life, every life has got skills, and you have to know how to pursue them, hone those skills, because they are the things that will serve you in the years to come.
Yeah.
The things that will be very helpful for you, you know, and if you don't do that now, you get carried away by scrolling on Instagram or scrolling on Facebook or scrolling on, and people are wasting time doing that. You know, I started writing as an accident of events, you know, because my friend wrote a poem, and I thought, poem? I can write poems. Why can't I just put my hands to it? And I tried something, all right? It wasn't great. It wasn't like my friends, but I thought, well, this is something. When I had a very catastrophic event in my life, and I had to now be by myself, just sat alone in one remote village in the East. Then I started putting my thoughts together and I started writing. And that is when my ability to write got developed. I started writing, and, you know, and then it started with just writing messages out. Just, you know, I see something in scripture, I write it out, and I'm writing 3, 4, 5 pages. All right. And then I discover that I'm thinking about stuff. I look around my environment and a thought comes to me about, how about writing a story about this boy with this face who is in this village talking to this face? And I start, you know what? And I put it to writing. And then I start, all right? And now here I am. So there are many skills that we are born with. And it's just like a parable of the talents. People don't use them. They don't go to find them. And they, you know, and until you do that, you might not actually find out what you really have. Yeah. And that's where the challenge is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was very, there's so many things to all of that. So I'll just give the listeners like a second to let us step in. Thank you. Thank you. So as you know, this is our 7th year anniversary on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And
congratulations.
Thank you so much. And shout out to every one of you, because the podcast when you start something and you're passionate about it, you getting started is, people can get things started, but to keep it going, I always say it's the stories, it's the people coming back. Because I mean, there's only so much of my life I can share. There's only so much happening in my life that can only feel like one season max, and you are done. And then, God forbid, you just have only me on the podcast. It's gonna be super boring. But to have people come here and the trust they have in us, the trust they have that we're gonna take their story, you know, seriously and delicately, and not, you know, hurt them and all that to me means the whole of the world. So this feat is very much, you know, a reflection of the audience and the guests that keep coming on the podcast. So I thank all of you. But in looking back at you know, just thank you. In looking back at the trajectory of the podcast, one thing that how we even started was I realized that it was Tammy Osheba, by the way. Shout out to Tammy. She always kept saying, "More, you write a lot. You need to be out there more. You need to be out there more." And I'll tell her, you know, what do you mean by out there? She'll not be sending me YouTube videos of people like, I think a YouTuber had bought a house out of their YouTube earnings. This was way back as 2017 or so, before mm-hmm. YouTube became a thing. It's like, you need to maybe do YouTube. I'm like, I don't like videos because it's so performative. You have to like be there and, you know, do stuff. Before you know it, I start breaking all of my values. So no, I can't do videos. And then podcast came as a better medium, because as a happy medium, because, you know, I was an avid podcast listener. And I'd always loved radio as a child. So it was just natural to just make it audio. But I couldn't do anything because I realized that my dad and I were not on good terms. Like, I grew up just not liking my dad. Actually, let me be very clear. I grew up hating my dad, right? And that hate evolved into indifference, which was also not, you know, very good. And
which I had good hate.
Exactly. Because hate is an emotion, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I had justifiable reasons, you know. If I was in therapy and, you know, it was something that was well understood, you know, my therapist was trying to help me. Therapist was trying to walk through that with me. But I realized that there's no way I can come in front of a mic. I mean, telling people to set their stories free if I hadn't done that work in me. So it felt like I could see like the child in me just sitting in the corner in rags, weeping. And there was a vision that came that I was just like, I could see myself just dissociate. And even having to talk to my dad again was almost like opening up deep wounds, because I didn't have the vocabulary. And how do you, as a Nigerian, go tell your dad that, "Dad, you hurt me," and this is, you know, and this hurt was more of just emotional distance.
Yeah.
It was never really there. That's what I thought. And, you know, again, there were justifiable reasons. And I wrote a letter to him. It was like the fifth version, because I had my friends read through it, and they were like, "Oh no, you can't tell your dad. Oh no, this is too strong." So they edited the letter. The edit that went to him, whenever he read it, he was so pissed off at me. It caused like a huge family drama. But I stood my ground. I told him, "You know what? This version you're seeing, trust me, it was a community effort. If you had seen version one, maybe you would have thrown me off the family tree. You know, chop me off." And, you know, and that birthed a beautiful relationship. But I said that to say, Harry, that moment when I told my dad and I just poured myself out, something opened in me. It was a visceral reaction, like almost like a creativity hub just opened in me, and I felt freer. And we talk about unforgiveness, right? But it didn't feel like unforgiveness. It was justifiable anger that, you know, as a child, that I felt my daddy wasn't there for me. He was so strict. It was, you know, and all of that. And that space really helped me create this podcast, because now I know I've done the job. I can come in front confidently and say, "Hey, people like me with daddy-sized holes in your heart, this is how you can go about doing it. And I see you and I understand you." And now my dad and I are very good friends. You know, I call him by his first name, by the way. It's just a way of just almost like getting back at him without getting back at him. And I got to know him so much more. I mean, he apologized for so... Like, all that to say, you know, so my question for you is this. We often have reasons to hold on to stuff, and we don't know how much they hold us back. Now, for those who might be where I was many years ago, the impact of, you know, and seeing just how that has impacted our lives, what can you say to them in just helping them? I want you to say, move a little bit forward. Because again, there were justifiable reasons to hold on to that anger and that, you know, unforgiveness. But, you know, if you think about it, it's doing more hurt to you than even though you might not realize it.
Yeah.
So I guess, and then if you can speak to that as also how that can also impact progress or even some form of, you know, progression, that's the word, in life.
Yeah, in life. Yeah, thank you. The truth is, I mean, you've said it, you know, having to open up, you know, about your dad opened up deep wounds about you. And I mean, look at it today. This is what has brought about this podcast. And look at the great thing that has come out of you deciding to take that step to say, you know what, I am going to do this. And for me to be able to, and you can, because, and then the way you can understand and relate to people and relate to their hurts and relate to what they are going through and be able to ask those questions. Because you see, if you've not gone through that, you might not be able to ask those kinds of questions. You might not know when someone is explaining what they've gone through. Right. You might brush it aside because you've not gone through anything like that. And the truth is, so for anyone who is going through or has gone through stuff that they're afraid to share, the truth is, you, like I first said, is when I shared my, you know, struggles and the things like for example, it was procrastination was one of my great things.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, you talked about that, yeah.
I said that, right? I look back, I'm like, wow, that there's a lot of progress, you know, in this. There's a lot of progress because now, you can't, I mean, and I found out that maybe I was procrastinating because I didn't even have a lot to do. Because now that I've got so much to do, there's no room for procrastination.
Exactly.
You got to be on the ball. So I have to now separate, have structure into my life. I have to decide on my Mondays. I have to get my Mondays in a certain way. And everything that I need to do for the month or for church on Sunday, I need to start thinking about it from Monday. Structure came into my life. But it came from that period where we had that conversation, and I it was something that was dead to me. Like, I know I just procrastinate, and I said something about me managing my money and things like that. But I see that I have paid more attention. Me just coming out and talking really brought it out to the light, and in bringing it out to light, somehow I found within me a strength to put structures in. You know, these were things that were just in my head. And then just coming out to say them to someone else, all right, on a podcast like this, just gave me some form of liberty, some freedom. And I believe that for everyone who is going through stuff or there's something that is holding you back, this basically goes into the territory of unforgiveness. And unforgiveness, like they say, and I believe it very strongly, is drinking poison and expecting someone else to die, right? Because at the end of the day, it's you that it hurts. You are the one who's going through. Someone can be living their life, done bad things to you, but they can be living as free as a bird. Nothing that you're saying, that you're feeling about them, you can't really project a lot. It's holding you back by yourself. And you're not going to be able to make that cross into the next level of your life. Because out of our hurts and pains come out the glories of our lives. And for you to be able to get that glory, you have to let go of the hurt, because healing does not come until you actually expose it. All right. Mm-hmm. If you imagine, I mean, I remember when I was a child, I had this incident where I stepped on a nail, rusty nail.
I remember you said that.
I said that, right?
You said that, yeah, yeah.
And then you remember what happened? I mean, hot oil. But I found out that because the hurt was so deep, the open wound, the entry wound was already closing up, but there was a spot inside. So when you look on my feet, all right, at my feet, you might not identify the puncture wound, all right? But because it was a nail that went through it, in that area, and I'm going to be very careful because last time I talked about amino acids, but in that spot, so imagine what happens. All right, it's closed here, but there's a hole there.
Yeah.
That hole does not have oxygen.
Oh yeah.
Does not have oxygen.
Yeah.
So it begins to ferment, and it begins to ferment.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
And that was what was happening. So that's what happens when you keep hurt in. Nobody's your entry wound on the outside because it's gone. It happened when you were 9. Happened when you were 19. Happened when you were 23. Happened when you're 17.
Yeah.
But it's gone. But inside you, there's a fermentation process.
Mm.
Detrimental to yourself and to your person.
Mm.
It's only when you bring it out into the sun, all right? Mm. And that sun is a controlled space. I mean, we're not saying go share your life stories on every possible way. But, you know, in places where if you want to go for therapy or if you want to just speak to the person who is involved, it is in that way that you actually find healing.
Yeah.
It is bringing it to the sunlight,
all
right? And sunlight is you actually letting go of that hurt, and you will find. It is almost as if this is the way God designed it. That's where you're going to find your glory. Jesus did not find his glory until he had to go through the darkness, isn't it? And many stories are linked to, you know, the things that they did when, how they, you know, navigated that issue with forgiveness and bringing things to light.
Yeah.
So I encourage everyone, please, speak to someone, all right?
Yeah.
Open it up, let it go. Even if you want to share in graded forms, open in little by little.
Yeah.
That will still help.
Yeah,
it will be very helpful.
Yeah, and I also want to acknowledge that there are so many reasons to want to hold on to that hurt. But trust me, there's a better life once you find a way to just say it out. I'm not saying let it go, because let it go almost feels like I'm undermining the impact of the pain. But find a way to just, you know, metabolize that pain. It's not worth keeping it in. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. I want to respect your time because I think we're over, and I apologize for that. See, this is why I can't do 20 minutes, especially, hey. I have two great questions for you. What spiritual disciplines keep you grounded this day? So you've talked about being able to work on that procrastination, and, you know, because you have a lot to do. You've also talked about the way you are trying to manage your, you know, your work life, your private life, and your ministry life. But we're just curious to know what kind of spiritual disciplines you use that's keeping you grounded these days, and how we can learn from that.
So, for me, my number one, and let me first say that I found out that I don't know how to call it. They've not given us a term to call ourselves, but it doesn't matter. I am more productive the busier I get.
Me too.
Thank you. So I found out that having less things in my life was probably one of the reasons why many terrible things were just showing up.
I get more depressed, yeah.
Yeah, so things were just showing up. I get lazy. I don't feel anything, not productive, because I'm doing less.
Yep.
But once you put me back into function, I'm responsive for this, responsive for that, then somehow I am operating at my optimum frequency, and then that's it. So that is one, keeping myself busy doing stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Also, we organize prayers and fasting. I do. Right now, we are preparing for a project. We have a conference coming up in July, and I'm heading the prayer team and accessory team, and because of that, and we're doing daily prayers. I am hoping to spend more time in prayer. All right. Because now one in charge, so I have to like, are you guys doing okay there? Are you guys doing okay there? Me getting myself involved in prayers, you know, has been very, very helpful. All right, because just keeps me rolling. I think somehow, like, I was telling my wife 2 days ago that I find that the times when I am quietly doing something, I get a lot of thoughts or downloads, as it were, from, you know, in my mind that I'm necessary. So things like I'm washing mindlessly, I'm spreading clothes and stuff like that. Thoughts are coming into my mind. But I think it's not just because of I'm doing those things. It's because I am keeping myself up to date in the place of prayer.
Yeah.
All right. Because my spirit man is energized. I am just keeping myself in that space. All right. So keeping myself in that space is one of the things that keeps me grounded. Listening to people, listening to podcasts, listening to messages. All right. It's also very, very helpful. And even sometimes these messages are not long messages. I chew on a 60-second message I hear from a pastor on Instagram.
Yeah.
All right. Share something, and for the rest of the day, I'm thinking through it. I'm thinking about it, like, wow, that makes sense. And it's not only pastors. I'm very eclectic. Learn from everybody, because wisdom is, there's wisdom, you know. And anybody who's out there, you know, who have done stuff, they will have some wisdom to offer.
Yeah.
So I listen to them. So that way, I keep myself grounded, you know, listening to people. Thinking through stuff, meditation, right, is very helpful to me. So I meditate, I listen to podcasts, listen to messages, I then pray and fasting. Fasting is, I mean, I'm trying to make sure that my weight doesn't go too far, because I lose weight, like, I do 3 days,
Meanwhile, as I'm talking tonight, I've gained like 5 pounds already. Just by just sitting down in front of a mic.
Sorry, even talking like that, I've already lost 0.5. I'm serious. That's my like baseline. It's not what it used to be before. You know me, how I was in school. Like, I did not know I was like that in school. I did not know. You guys were not very nice, but thank you very much for not telling me, bashing my ego, because I felt.
How did we even look at ourselves? We all look somehow. No, thank God for the grace of God.
let me tell you something. I looked at myself then. I wasn't proud. Anyways, I didn't have the resources to be proud.
Yeah.
But I was confident that I was one of the most handsome blokes in school at that time. Nobody made me feel otherwise, and I'm happy, because when I look back at the pictures,
I think it was the height. It was the height. It was the confidence.
Confidence
is always beautiful. Confidence will do that to you. All right. So, follow up question to that. So, you lead a church, a branch of a church in London whose headquarters is in Lagos. That's a unique setup, you know. It requires a lot of trust, alignment, and spiritual consistency, which you've talked about. How do you maintain a sense of unity and shared purpose across continents, you know? And I'm also wondering what recursivity looks like for you, because being able to circle back to the source while adapting to local needs. And so, I'm curious to know about that. How do you keep on
that? That actually was the biggest challenge when I got into the role. Because I thought, you know what, we're in London. I'm very, very used to our setup in Lagos, because that's our setup. And our challenges in Lagos are different from challenges that we have here. All right. We don't pray about light. We don't pray about water. We don't pray about bus. We don't pray about train. You know, things are just, you know, the things that we have to look forward to are different. And when I got in, I thought, you know what? I don't want to do a replication, an exact replica of Lagos or our church in Lagos down here in London. So I thought, you know what, let's make some adaptation, let's change things a bit, let's make it open for everyone to be able to come in. Let's look at the structure, the music, way what the kind of music they play in churches that are predominantly, you know, Caucasian, and let's also try and marry that into our own. And then the way we do things, the thing I fought for the most at first was punctuality, ensuring that our church says we start at 10, we don't start at 10:02. 10 is 10. Anyone who comes in must realize that this is what we picked up. We cannot carry that culture into this place. So that's one of the things, first things. So there's a lot of things I had to look at and say, if our people are going to really get the benefit of living in a different country, you have to know how to adapt to that culture. Pick what is right in that culture and see what, you know, how do we manage, you know, the expectation of people when they come here. Since we're not just praying, oh Lord, give us water, give us, you know, people have access to credit facilities, so they don't have to go and be begging people for money, you know. So it's different. People can go in that particular direction. So I had to sit down with a few of my team to say, what are the challenges? What are the things? How do we narrow this down? And I had to go to God definitely to say, you want me to lead this church, right? How do I keep this church relevant? Yeah. How do I keep us relevant? People come in and find that this is it. And then, of course, he gave me a direction, right? And that direction basically is about making people understand that even right, it wasn't that right from the beginning, the thought of God was not about whether you are going to make money or not make money. It's about seeking to, you know, inherit every promise that God gave unto Abraham, which is what Jesus Christ brought for us. So it is him giving me strategies to adapt in our services, all right, to see what we should talk about. So I always get back, you know, to him. And in keeping that, and I have got a general overseer, our senior pastor, who very much understands that, all right. And he's given us, you know, he's been so magnanimous that he allows us to run, you know, very, very independently. Very much, very, very much, you know, independently. But he knows what we're doing. He's involved. And every now and then he comes around to see what we're doing. If there's any major thing that we have that we need assistance with, we can always speak to him, you know, ask him about things. He's very, he's available. And he tells us, and because he's done this, he's led a church for so long, he can tell you the pitfalls of some of the things they're doing.
Right.
So one of the things he did tell us was that, you know, like, you know, we think that, oh, let's try and make it appealing to the, you know, the Caucasian
population.
He said, you know what, that's not how it works. What it works first with, you take the message to people who can accept it first.
Yeah.
When it grows, all right, then other people will get into it. When Jesus came, he was sent to the lost house of Israel because they already had the Judaism that they could, you know, step on as a platform. And then from then on, you can now go on to the Gentiles. And that's the model for everyone. So you start with people who can hear you. You start a podcast, target the people who are your persons, who are within your space.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be racial.
Friends, ethnic, families, and foes. Yeah, that's how you start with. Yes. Yeah.
Go with that one first. And when you go, and the truth is, so we now had to dial back on a few things that we did because we did them and it didn't work. It did not work.
Yeah.
We had to dial back. And that's the advantage of having a mentor. you know, having mentorship, you know,
and also listening to them as well, you know. Don't think you've arrived,
Don't think that, you know, you've got this unique opportunity, so you know, you do your own thing. Yeah. You know, and I always take this cue from Elijah and Elisha. Yeah. Elijah and Elisha, for those who are not Christians, there are prophets in the Old Testament. And when one of them time was done, he was going to go. But one, he was asked to get a deputy, someone to stand in place for him. All right. And when it was time for him to go, that chap was like, he said, for you to actually do and carry this, my ministry forward, you have to see as I see, you know. Yeah. And that was the last thing he said to him. He said, my father, I can see you. Yeah. And I can see you. I can see. So which means that if you, my vision is your vision, a double portion of what I'm doing, you will
you
do.
Get, yeah.
And we know that Elisha did a double portion
of what Elijah did. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And that is always this. You hold on to the head. Hold on to the head and don't disconnect yourself.
From the source, yeah.
Okay. It is that you are, I am the vine, you are the branches. All right. Yeah. You can do nothing without me. And so I stay with that. And from there, that's where I get all my ideas, my decisions from.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. I have, as we bring this episode to a close, I wanted to ask you, two questions first and then one to tie down. So tie everything up. So if there's something you said to me 20 years ago, which I don't know if you remember, and it stuck with me ever since. This was on my, almost 20 years ago. This was on my 20th birthday. Usually, you know, we gather together and then somebody, people go around and give a speech about the celebrant, I pray for them. You said to me, 20 is when you define the life you want.
Oh yeah, I remember.
30 is when you begin to live the life you define. You probably said something about 40, but I stopped at 30 because I'm like, it seems like a galaxy away. But here we are, almost hitting 40. Now I'm almost approaching that. I've been thinking a lot about what this next decade means. So I have to ask you, what comes next? What would you say 40 represents? And if you're feeling extra magnanimous, if you can chip in on 50 years, that would be very, very great. And I want to say thank you for that message. It really changed my life. I never forgot it. It changed my life because it also called out to me what I'm doing right now is going to shape my future. You know, the habits, the community I'm building, my intentionality about my work and my purpose. And even in your 20s, it's almost like an interesting, fun, but confusing time of your life. Because people have expectations of you, but there's this entropy going on. You just left 16 and then you're all of a sudden you're supposed to be an adult and you're still trying to hold on to your parents, you know, strings and whatnot. So what does 40, what should 40 look like? Or even 50 if you're able to, like, you know,
try. A lot of people would argue with this. Even though I look 28 or 32, I'm actually into my 40s. That's all right. So then what we said was, so 20 is when you begin to say, you know what, this is the life I want to live. I want to start, you know, walking in that direction, right? Yeah. And as you are trying different things out in your 20s, which is what you should be doing, irrespective of what you are, your long-term occupation, whether as a student or not. Mm-hmm. And that's where people will have issues. They leave everything till when they finish school.
Right.
You need to start living that life now. You are a person who is living in a space. Do not let school be everything, all right? Mm-hmm. Do school, but make sure that you have something you are doing outside of school, all right? Which is community involvement, talking to people, reaching out to do things, being involved in projects and things like that. Your 30s is actually where you have actually picked one thing that you want to do and then you start doing it. So 30 is where you actually sit down and you are doing that thing,
yeah.
All right? But you see, as you do, you discover that. Because after you've lived in a business or an environment for some time, you develop mastery, all right, in those things. And mastery, your 40s is where you should now start trying to devolve, start creating, as it were, legacy. Start thinking about legacy. People think about legacy when they're in their 60s. Yeah. But 40s is where you should actually start raising other people, all right? 40s is where you should actually start raising other people based on what you have learned, the mastery that you have gained in your own area, in your field. That is when you start doing it. The reason this is important to start doing very early is because when you start doing your legacy things at 60, you cannot make any adjustments because it's only you're in your 60s and your 70s. But as you start doing them in your 40s, you can make adjustments, you can actually now find a different thing, you know, because I believe your 50s is where, you know, you start. I believe that God gives you a new dream, a new vision in your fifties, which is standing upon what you have done before. Mm-hmm. All right. If you develop mastery in some places, you now come into like governance. You know, 50 is where you come into governance, but 40 is actually where you start raising models, start having proteges, and you are pouring your life into them. You know, so you are pouring your life. You pick a 20-year-old, right?
Yeah.
20-year-olds in my, you know, in my space, in a church and all that, who I am beginning to talk to regularly, speak to them about what they need to do, how they need to see things, so that I'm channeling them. And I can get to see them get into their 40s as well. So by the time I'm in my 60s, they are in their 40s, and I can make those adjustments. So I believe your 40s is where you should start actually raising other leaders and raising role models.
Yeah.
So that is the next thing. So, like, is it podcast people, or is it life? Is it counseling? This is time to start raising them. So that's what you do in your 40s.
That's all. I've actually started doing that. But again, in talking about this now, I'll keep doing that intentionally. So yeah. Raising like almost like mentees, but almost like passing down some of the things we've learned and building community with them and doing life with them. And then 50 is when you reach that level of governance.
Governance. Yeah. And, you know, so because 50 is where you are, you should really be operating at the height.
Yeah.
Maybe not the full height, but height
of the peak of it, yes. Of your influence,
yes. And then you are at par with others who are in other areas and other industries. You know, you are seen there, you are like a captain, you have been there before, and then you are into governance, putting structures in place, helping those who are coming behind and, you know, navigate the ways that are coming through. So that's what I think. You see, when I said that thing, that thought came as I, you know, because I usually don't, you know, when I go for these meetings a lot, I go for those birthdays and
birthday stuff, yeah.
I'm a person who doesn't, I've had these thoughts too many times. I can't say the same that everybody says. Yeah. And if I want to see something, I have to see something that means something.
That person.
And that's why I don't have anything that I feel is novel or, you know, important to emphasize. I just keep quiet. That thought that I was thinking about was something that came to me a few days before.
Wow.
I was thinking about it. I had not crystallized it. You know, it was in your birthday that I actually crystallized the thoughts, you know, when it was asked that day. It was something I was just thinking about, okay, what I want to do at this point? What am I doing? How am I going to, you know? And it was at that point that it actually came out. So, and I remember it very well. And since then, I have often said it. I've said it.
But they heard it first on my birthday. Wink, wink. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. All right. Last question would be this. Our podcast is celebrating the 7th anniversary. And I'd like to also take this. Whatever you share is going to be very, very meaningful to me. What advice would you give to us as we enter year eight of podcasting? And along that line, are there some topics or lived experiences or community building effort that we should be talking about that we're yet to talk about on the podcast or explore on the podcast?
Well, I think that in this case, I should be the one to listen to you. I have not successfully run a podcast for me to be able to, you know, speculate about the kind of things you should be doing.
No, maybe just from your, like, your own environment, things of immediacy, like, oh, you know, this is coming up. And I think it would be nice if we kept, you know, talking more about this or building community around these topics.
Yeah, I think that, you see, your podcast has gone, I don't know if it's a full circle in a sense, but I think that we need to, there might be at some point, you know, it'll be your thoughts, and it depends on how it is that comes to you, is to take this from being just the podcast as it always is and bringing it into like an in-person conference. Yeah, bringing it to an in-person conference where you say, you bring your speakers or, you know, and then you do a big, even if it's just once a year, all right, as your annual thing, where you actually bring it forth and you create different let's say you have one on healing,
yeah.
You have navigating, you know, racial or cultural change.
Interest groups, yeah. Different interest groups. Different
interest groups, yes. And then you bring it out there and it becomes something. And that is where you find out that there are spin-offs, because your podcast already is due for spin-offs of what you are actually doing, where you replicate yourself. I believe that you have actually gotten there,
yeah.
Where you replicate yourself in the people who have been doing stuff and helping you do things.
Yeah.
It can't just remain just more civil podcast.
Yeah.
It becomes more civil parenting, more civil healing,
yeah.
More civil, to the point where I am looking at this thing, and I'm going to say it because I believe that we're getting there.
Yeah.
All right, you get there. It becomes a series. It becomes a TV series. It becomes a talk show rather than just a podcast. Podcast will continue, but that you actually have a talk show that you come into. So whether it's as a conference, an annual conference, but I just see it. I see it now as we're talking, that is actually something that is in your future.
Henry, whenever you talk, I have to listen. Now you're giving me a lot of work. It's scarily good. But you know, people like you, like I'm like you in the sense of, you know, this is a good challenge. Like, it got me excited, even though it's a little bit scary, but scary is never bad. But yeah. Thank you. This is coming from you, and I know the intentionality and the heart. I'll take all of that, and I promise I'm going to do due diligence to it.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. No pressure, yeah. Right? No pressure.
No pressure.
Any podcast or books or media recommendation you'd like to provide to the listeners, you know, as a way to kind of build up themselves in a way?
So let me start with, for leadership, there's a book by an admiral.
Is it the Navy guy?
Yeah, the Navy guy.
Oh, do you know he came to my university?
Didn't he?
Yeah, 2014. It was actually the day I did my master's convocation. Yeah, yeah. The CEO guy, right? The CEO Navy. Yeah. He was the speaker.
He was an admiral in the Navy, not the CEO guy. This one was an admiral. Captain of my ship. It's a 14th name of that ship. That book. For leadership, it's very, very helpful.
Lesson of a First Command. Is it that one?
No.
That's from Lessons. Oh, that's from Lessons. That's from, is it my, Lessons from the Admiral? It's not that one, right?
No, I got it in my library. And it's a book that really, you know, kind of helps you crystallize the understanding different parts of your ship and how you help people, you know, you build the people and the people build your ship, in a sense. That's one of the things I recommend.
Okay.
I'll also want to recommend, in terms of books, my favorite book is the Bible. Anyways, so
I wonder what gave that away.
Because, you know, all my life ideas, all my passion, my thoughts have always come through scriptures. You know, I don't go like I'm searching. Remember, I got a scholarship and it was we opened the scripture one day and I saw it there. He told me it was going to be money converted into me, you know, and that book really has been what has defined my life.
Yeah.
He's told me about being a pastor. He's told me about moving from Lagos to London, you know, all of that. I saw it just reading through the scriptures, reading through the Bible.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I highly recommend that book.
Yeah.
Read it. It gives you instructions. Someone reminded me of this. That the word Bible actually, you know, means basic instructions before
Earth. Yeah.
I still remember that.
Yeah.
Basic instructions.
From Sunday school, yes.
Sunday school, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And then there are a few people that I listen to, you know, here and there on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I'm quite eclectic, so I just kind of pick. So there are people like that. There are too many. So because I just kind of pick them one. Anything else? I think that's about it.
And at this rate, we are kind of, you know, whatever the algorithm feeds you. Yeah, building your own algorithm. Yeah. Well, is the book turn the ship around? Is that the work?
Let me find it.
Okay.
I remember it.
Because yeah, we're all about capacity building.
Yes, capacity building. Your Ship, yeah. By Captain Michael Abrashoff.
What's the name? Tony Ship, I'm sorry.
It's Your Ship.
It's Your Ship, oh, okay, all right.
It's Your Ship.
Okay, noted. Oh, yeah. I've seen it, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's Your Ship. It got a struggling ship, you know, and a struggling ship, never ship, you know, the worst or one of the worst, you know, into the very best, because they were able to make people feel at home, make changes, make small changes. And in life, it's not, people look forward to the big thing that in their life. They're looking for, when I have this, when I have this, when I have that, they're fixating their life until once something major happens. Yeah. But life is lived in seconds.
Yeah.
Life is lived in seconds. So make small changes to your life right now. You know, small changes. Small incremental changes will definitely affect your life.
Yeah.
I one day decided I was not going to drink any fizzy drink anymore. Yeah. And that's it. I've avoided that, you know. But to me, it wasn't anything at that point. All right, but then I've carried it on for so long just because I just said, you know what, I don't think it's necessary for me anymore, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and deciding that, you know, I'm going to stay with this. This is the kind of things I'm going to do. I'm going to prioritize things that matter to me.
Yeah.
All right, if it is, I mean, my parents used to say, whoever is on TV, you know, they say, he that watches TV does not appear on TV. You know that kind of thing. If you spend all your life watching TV, you never appear on TV.
Nigerian,
you know?
Press and those adages are just like, you know, watch it in the bone.
You know, but people, you know, should go out and do themselves, do life.
Mm.
Find out who you are, find out about yourself.
Mm.
You know, you might say you are not something, but you are. Go out.
Yeah.
Be involved in other people's lives.
Yep.
If somebody needs help, help them. In the process of helping them,
you discover yourself.
About yourself.
Yep,
you discover about yourself. And that is, you know, important.
Thank you so much. I mean, I immediately have said that, like, you can only find yourself in community. The way to find yourself is through in community. And so, Henry, thank you so much for coming back. This felt less like an interview, more like sitting with an old friend, catching up on life, purpose, and everything in between.
Always want the pleasure.
Yeah. You've always had a way of just grounding big ideas into real honest reflections, and I'm so grateful you shared with us again. I'm taking a lot from this conversation. Now I know what to look forward to in my 40s, in my 50s, and it means a lot that you're part of the 7 years.
Okay, we'll learn more and then we'll
right. Let's also say
that, you know, for everyone, this is general, we said it like general,
right?
Some people will not, you know, really achieve all those things within those time slots. Some people will probably get into some things earlier in their 30s, in their late
30s. And that's okay. Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And some people will not get into these things. They will not even find out what they really want to do in life until they are in their 40s somehow. All right. But that's also okay. Because the path, everybody's path, like I said, the covenant pathway to destiny is a lonely path.
Yeah.
And you arrive at your own time, at your own time. Okay,
yeah.
The fish that swims is not better than the monkey that climbs. You know,
we're all differently abled, right? Yeah,
differently abled. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. It means a lot that you're part of this 7 year milestone, because in many ways you've been a part of this podcast, right? From, you know, just our interactions and the way you know I'm shaped my experiences in my 20s. And to our listeners, thank you for growing with us, for laughing with us, for staying curious. However long you've been listening, we're glad you're here. May you all keep staying rooted in life, in the life you're defining, in the life you're living, or maybe the one you're discovering. So until next time, everyone, take care of your heart, check on your people, build this community, find a way to metabolize the hurt you're going through, and never stop being on a mission. Thank you so much, Henry. And I can't wait to catch up with you. So let me know when next you want to just, you know, talk on the phone to catch up. There's so much to talk about. Yeah.
I'll let you know.
And my best, yo.
What was that? Oh, it was that. We went to meet him. I was like, yeah. It was so. Thank you.